File JY-167, an update on Atom God. Your speaker is John Henry Yount. This presentation dates from around the early 1980s and was remastered in 2013. It and many others like it are, again, available free of charge from the Ex-Mormons for Jesus MP3 archives. Their website is located at www.emfj.net. Very little in Mormon doctrine has changed since the death of Brigham Young. So even though this file was recorded some time ago, virtually all of the information you will hear now is as likely to be just as valid today as when it was first delivered. This file is not copyrighted, and in fact we encourage you to share this file freely. And now, an update on Atom God by John Yount.
My special thanks to Brother Jim and those of the Ex-Mormons for Jesus in the Sacramento area for inviting me to come and address this issue of Atom God. And I'm especially grateful. I don't get invited too many times because what I have to say is not always easy to be taken. Just for the benefit of those of you who are Christians who are listening to this broadcast, may I say that the message that I've come to preach is very simple. I'm really not here to tell you God loves you because, frankly, I'm convinced there are a lot of us God is fed up with. I suppose he loves us, but I'm sure he's fed up with what we're doing. I haven't really come to preach you God loves you because, you know, that has been preached and preached and over-preached so much. I'm here to tell you that you are a sinner before God without Jesus Christ, and you need to come to Calvary and repent of your wickedness and your idolatry. You need to line up with what the Word of God has to say. And I should mention also, just as a point of reference, that I believe this book I have in my hand here is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. I believe you can go down to the bookstore and buy a copy of the inerrant, infallible Word of God. I don't have to worry if it's been translated correctly. I already know that from Genesis to Revelation, it's been translated just fine. It's brought revival. It's brought healing. It's brought the mighty works of God through the generations of time. This book, in one form or another, has been with us since the days of Antioch, and it's in fine shape. So I believe the book from cover to cover. So I did want to establish that, because we're going to take a look at the book tonight. Because, you know, really, to understand Atom God, to understand how far afield Mormonism is, you really have to center in on what the Word of God has to say. Amen. So let's find out, then, who is Atom according to the Word of God? You need to see that. Who is Atom according to the Word of God? First of all, Genesis chapter 1. Let's open up the book and take a look, beloved. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Adam, then, is the first man to be created on this earth, made from the dust of the earth, formed from the ground. That's who Adam is. Now we need to know something more about who Adam is. Adam is, as the theologians would say, the covenant head of the human race. Stay with me now. Adam is the covenant head of the human race. So often we'll be dealing with people, and many of you have run into this in your personal work. People will ask you, "How come I'm responsible for what Adam did?" Now, if they're not asking you that, it's because you're leaving out a part of the gospel. And I'm happy you're preaching God loves you, but what about God is not pleased with your performance, and you will die and spend an eternity in hell if you do not turn to Jesus Christ. So if you haven't made it very clear that they're a sinner, point one, you really left out a big, big part of the gospel, beloved. They need to know that they're a sinner. Amen. So they'll often respond that way, and they'll say, "Well, how come it's my fault? Because Adam was messed things up. How come you're blaming me?" Well, you see, Adam was the covenant head of the human race, and in Adam, every human being fell. And when I say they fell, I don't mean they just fell a little bit. I mean they really fell. I mean they fell, and they fell, and they fell, and the wound was so great, it took the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary to make that wound healed. I don't want to minimize the fall, and this is very important, you see, because Mormonism says that God, that Adam fell up. That Adam didn't really fall, that he just kind of, he had a couple of commandments. One of them was reproduce, and the other one was don't eat of the tree, but he knew he had to sin to become a human being so he could reproduce. So he was a wise old man, and he took the lesser of two evils. Well, God doesn't tempt any man. God always provides a way out, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. So we know the Mormon concept of Adam is wrong. Adam had a choice, and Adam fell. Who ate the first bite of that fruit? Eve did. What happened? Nothing. Eve wasn't the covenant head of the human race. Adam was. Adam took a bite, and we fell in Adam. Now let me tell you something else. I have, in my years of ministry, just in my years as a human being, I have met a lot of people who are horribly sick, or maybe just a little bit incapacitated, through absolutely no fault of their own. They are sick because their great-great-great-great-grandfather contracted some disease that is passed on down through the generations. Some of you old-timers remember the singer Woody Guthrie. He had a thing called Huntington's chorea. It is a wasting and fatal and, as far as I know, incurable disease passed down from generation to generation in no predictable pattern. One or two or three or four or who knows how many generations might go by, it won't even show up. But then, bang, it shows up. There are those among the population who suffer, especially the black population, suffering from sickle cell anemia. There are those who of the Jewish population who suffer with a disease whose name escapes me at the moment, but it is primarily isolated among the Jewish people. And it's passed down from generation to generation. Through no fault of that little baby is born with the taint of that particular disease. Well, you see, we are all children of Adam. We inherit our life from Adam. God breathed the life into Adam, and Adam blew it. And we inherit that fallen, corrupted, bankrupt life from Adam. As Paul says, we are dead in trespasses and sins. That's why I reject the Mormon concept of good works. Go down to a graveyard and preach to a graveyard full of people and see how many good works they do. Well, they can't. They're dead, you see. We are dead because we inherit our life from Adam. We've only been born once. We need to be born twice. We need to be born again. You're born once, you die twice. Born twice, hallelujah, you die once. Amen. So Adam fell. Adam, in the Scriptures, when I say the Scriptures, I got to be careful, you know. The Mormon thinks the Scriptures is all these other books, and the Bible is the only one that's got mistakes. In the Word of God, in the Bible, Adam is the one who, frankly, got us into this kettle of fish in the first place. Now you'd like to tell me, well, if I was there, I wouldn't do that. I bet you would. You darn tootin' you would. Adam had everything going for him. He had intimate, one-to-one, personal, face-to-face communion with the Father. He had all he had to do was just, the only commandment he had, really, as far as don'ts, the only don'ts he had was just to don't partake of that tree. And in that great big garden, you know, we think of a garden as that thing in our backyard, but oh no, in that great big Garden of Eden, miles and miles and miles and acres and acres and acres and acres, what are they doing near that tree anyway? Why didn't they just stay away? Why didn't they just stay shy of it and make up their mind they weren't going to go there? You had a drinking problem in your past, stay away from a bar. You know, don't ask for it. Don't go see how much you can take till you crash and burn. No. Stay away from it. Why didn't they stay away from it? Oh, curiosity, whatever, who knows? All we know is that Adam fell. Mormonism's wrong when they said Adam fell up. And Mormonism is certainly wrong when they say that Adam is any kind of a god. Now, I'm really going to curl some hair. Are you listening? I don't believe Adam was saved. There are a lot of people that say, well, you know, God made a sacrifice and made skins, and Adam was all right. Nope, I don't believe that. Now, I'm not going to split hairs over it, but I think you ought to know that I don't believe the Bible teaches that Adam was redeemed in any way, shape, or form after the fall. In verse 24, Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, it says, so God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep, that is, to guard, the way of the tree of life. God drove Adam out. How many of you know God doesn't drive saved people out? God set a guard, if you will, a squadron of armed guard around the tree of life so that Adam might not partake of that tree of life. How many of you know God says, Jesus Christ says, come and partake freely. So I don't believe Adam was saved. I believe the Word of God teaches that Adam was a stinker that got us into this mess. It was his fault, and he was not only not a god, he wasn't even saved. As the head of the human race in the covenant sense, Adam fell, we all went with him. Contrast that with the concept of Adam God. Now, the Mormons call it the Adam God theory. It's not a theory. It was taught as doctrine for over 20 years. There are those in Utah today who still believe it. What is the doctrine of Adam God? And don't tell me the Adam God theory. I'm not listening. Adam God doctrine. Now, you might think you know, but I don't think you do, and I'm going to tell you what it is right now, so you'll know. Brigham Young taught that Adam was one of the many gods that are out there. In Mormonism, remember, there's lots and lots of gods. And that Adam came down to this earth with one of his celestial wives and willingly partook of that fruit and willingly died so that he might repopulate the earth. In other words, they have a picture of Adam actually being their God who came down to earth, as opposed to the Christian view of Jesus Christ, the God-man who came to earth. So they really think pretty highly of Adam. But the Adam God doctrine that Brigham Young taught says that Adam came down to the earth that first time with one of his celestial wives, Eve, and they knowingly partook of that fruit, and they died in order that they might have children, because they couldn't have children unless they were fallen. That's the Mormon scenario. Or I should say Brigham Young scenario. You will not find this taught today in the Mormon church. I should make that clear. Forgive me if I didn't. Adam God is virtually unknown to Mormons today. They think it was a statement attributed to Brigham Young. Their leaders have lied to them, and we'll be proving that here in just a moment. Okay, Adam came down. He and Eve fell, had children. Okay, Adam then became a god again. He went back, and because he was obedient, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, later on in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, you can find references in Hebrews chapter 11, for example, as it lists all the faithful of the Word of God. You see if you find Adam in there. He's not in there. So Adam became a god again, and then later on in what the Mormons call the meridian of time, Adam came down and met Mary and had sexual relations with Mary, and that's where Jesus came from. You see, what that is blasphemy. And if that doesn't upset you, if the spirit in you doesn't rise up and say, they're not going to say that about my Savior and not hear from me, then I think there's something wrong with your walk with the Lord. Because that is blasphemy. Bless your heart. Adam came down and had a sexual relationship with Mary, and that's where Jesus came from. And that's what Mormonism teaches. That Adam, they don't name him as Adam today. They just say our Father in heaven came down and had sex with Mary. But Brigham Young told us who it was. He said it was Adam. Now, we'll be looking at some of the quotes, but before we get into that, because by the time we're done with this series, beloved, you will know for your very own self that Adam was the god of Brigham Young, that it was Adam that Brigham Young exalted, it was Adam that Brigham Young worshipped. I have here a letter from the Mormon apostle, one of the really preeminent men in the Mormon church, Elder Bruce R. McConkie. Elder McConkie did not apparently expect this letter to be published. It has been. It has stamped all over it, "Do not reproduce," with the initials BRM written underneath it. Somebody reproduced it. I'm sure if you're particularly interested and you want a copy, that Jim and some of the folks here in the Sacramento area would be delighted to get you a copy. It's in booklet form now. But this letter, some 8 pages in length, makes some remarkable, you should forgive the expression, revelations. Among them, the fact that Bruce R. McConkie, the man who wrote the book called Mormon Doctrine, in which he says in so many words, and this is the standard Mormon line, by the way, that anybody who says that Adam God was ever taught by Brigham Young is a liar or an enemy of the truth. In fact, I could even quote it, part of it. He says, "Cultists and other enemies of the restored gospel, for their own peculiar purposes, try to make it appear that the Latter-day Saints worship Adam as their father in heaven. That is not what I'm saying. If you think that's what I'm saying, you've missed the point, and I'd better restate it. Adam was the God of Brigham Young. I'm not saying Adam is the God the Mormons worship today." And I had known for some time, because I had a dear friend who met with Elder McConkie and finally just painted him into a corner on this thing, and Mr. McConkie sat back in his chair and he said, "Well, all right. So Brigham Young taught Adam God. We're not teaching it today, and we're not going to admit that he taught it, so you're wasting your time." I shunned away a little bit from telling that story because somebody could just say, "Well, you're just, you know, how do we know that's true? You probably just made it up." In this letter, which Elder McConkie did not expect to be published, he contradicts his own book. He contradicts everything that the Mormon leaders have been saying. He contradicts everything that has been the official line from Salt Lake City for lo these many years. And I quote, "Yes, President Young did teach that Adam was the father of our spirits and all the related things that the cultists ascribe to him." Now, he thinks we're cultists. He thinks Christians are cultists. And his primary reference, no doubt, is to the Brighamites in Utah, and they're all over the place. Small in number, but they have proliferated of late. The Brighamites believe that Adam is God, and they practice polygamy openly, especially in the areas of Bountiful, Utah, and other small areas in Utah. Friends, here's this letter, some 8 pages in length. "Yes, Brigham Young did teach that Adam was the father of our spirits and all the related things that the cultists ascribed to him." Here is a Mormon apostle in a letter he did not expect to be published, frankly admitting, yes, Brigham Young taught it. Now, I could probably sit here and cry on your shoulder, tell you about all the names that I've been called, all the times that I have been called a liar and worse, all the times that my motives, which I assure you are sincere, have been called into question, and all the personal assaults and the personal abuses that I have taken because I have said, lo these many years, that this is a matter of history. Brigham Young taught Adam is our father in heaven. And the main argument that these people would use would be that they had read in Bruce R. McConkie's book that this whole thing was a big lie, and they know that Bruce R. McConkie wouldn't speak with a forked tongue. Yes, President Young did teach that Adam was the father of our spirits and all the related things that the cultists described to him. I believe, no doubt, he is referring especially to an unpublished, and when I say unpublished, I mean unpublished, except, of course, in the literature that we provide, that the ex-Mormons for Jesus published, the Tanners and others. He was referring, no doubt, to an unpublished address from February 19, 1854, in which Brigham Young said, and I quote, "Who did beget Jesus Christ?" Who did beget him? His Father. And his Father is our God. Does that sound good so far? His Father is the framer of the body. He is the Father of our spirits. Now, in Mormonism, maybe you're a Mormon listening to this. In Mormonism, who is the framer, the maker of our body? Who is the Father of our spirits? Who is the Father of Jesus Christ? I submit to you, in Mormonism today, it is our Father in heaven, the one we pray to. Amen. And then Brigham Young concluded by saying, who is he? He is Father Adam. Think how surprised you're going to be, he said, when you are ushered into the presence of the throne room and you pass the apostles and you pass Jesus Christ and you pass Joseph Smith, and all at once you are ushered into that throne room. Think how surprised you will be when you see the throne and he who sits upon it, and you will see the flowing white locks of Father Adam. Brigham Young taught Adam God. It's not a theory. Bless your heart. It's not a theory. It's not a statement taken out of context. It's a matter of documented historical fact. And I think we need to know that anyone, people say, well, that was just Brigham Young's opinion. You just wait. You stay tuned. We'll go through this documentation. You see if it's his opinion. I submit that anyone that could hold such an outrageous, blasphemous view is not only not a prophet, this is not a saved man, this is not a reliable spiritual guide. Even Mormonism today, that names great universities after him, denies that he ever taught it. The doctrine was essentially buried with Brigham Young in 1877 or thereabouts. It is interesting to notice that there were those who were excommunicated for not believing Adam God. Someone wrote to me once and they said, boy, I tell you, you sure make a lot of stuff up, don't you? You can't prove that. Millennial Star, Volume 24, page 99, February 15, 1862. Francis M. Lyman, Mormon apostle, quote, I heard of a man who was cut off because he would not believe that Adam was our Father and God. There are others, but I won't waste your time. You ever wonder why I'm doing this? Let me tell you. We'll really get into this. You know I'm doing this? Mormons make much about Adam. He's really the star of their temple ceremony. And of course, as I mentioned last week, Adam, from the Hebrew Adam, means man. So really, you could call Adam God, man God. And really, that is the essence of Mormonism. It fits in beautifully with the Mormon scheme of things, that man becomes God. Adam God, Adam God, man God, you see. But speaking of Adam, you know, God said to replenish the earth and all that. Mormons make a big deal about that. That's why they're always into big families, you know. But, you know, there is no New Testament command to multiply and replenish the earth. You ever stop and think about that? Except, maybe you're ahead of me, except in the spiritual sense, we are commanded by no less an authority than Jesus Christ himself to go and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples. Teach. Make disciples. Go. You know, we got our meetings, and we got our bulletin boards, and our big electric signs, and our advertisements. Come and worship with us. Come. Come. And the Bible says, go. What are you doing today? The reason I'm here today is I want to make sure that I am multiplying and replenishing the earth spiritually, because I'll tell you, friends, this Adam God stuff is dynamite. I call it my Adam bomb, because this has been used of God to open the eyes of Mormon people. I'm not saying this is the only way to witness to Mormons. I'm just saying it's a way that has worked well in opening the eyes of the Mormon people to the fact that they have been hoodwinked. And for those of you here who were not here last week, bless your heart. Where were you? I want to quote again from this letter, written in 1981, not published until just recently because it was never supposed to be published, by Elder Bruce R. McConkie of the Council of the Twelve Apostles of the Mormon Church, one of the highest up men in the Mormon Church. And yet in this letter, that McConkie did not expect to be published. He says, yes, President Young did teach that Adam was the father of our spirits and all the related things that the cultists ascribed to him. You see, if you're a Mormon, somebody's lying to you. Now, you might think it's me, but I think you got a real serious problem here when you got a man that's high up in your church that write a book, say, Adam, God's a lie. He'd write in a private letter, no, it's not. He even goes on to say that what we have is actually Brigham Young contradicting Brigham Young. I said that for years. People, Mormons would write in, say, how can you say that about Brigham Young? Right here. McConkie says it right here. Brigham Young contradicted Brigham Young. Yeah. Well, let's go now to Brigham Young's first Adam God sermon. It's the one the Mormon would be most familiar with. It goes like this. My next sermon will be to both saint and sinner. And then he goes on to speak of our Father in heaven has begat all the spirits that ever were, etc., etc. And then he says, now hear it, O inhabitants of the earth. By the way, we're in 1852 now, okay? Kind of make a mental running note of the dates here. 1852. Now hear it, O inhabitants of the earth, Jew and Gentile, saint and sinner. When our father Adam came into the Garden of Eden, he came into it with a celestial body and brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. He helped to make and organize this world. He is Michael, the archangel, the ancient of days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our father and our God, and the only God with whom we have to do. Every man upon the earth, professing Christians or non-professing, must hear it and will know it sooner or later. When the Virgin Mary conceived the child Jesus, the Father had begotten him in his own likeness. He was not begotten by the Holy Ghost. Who is the Father? He's the first of the human family. Mormons are generally familiar with that sermon, and they think they have a pretty good answer, and they think they know that he was taken out of context here. I should mention, just on the side, that Michael is not the Ancient of Days. Michael is a powerful, created angel. He is the exact opposite of Satan. Some people mistakenly believe that God and Satan are opposites. There's no way. God's got the whole thing under control. There is nothing even remotely similar to God. Michael the Archangel is not the Ancient of Days, and no prophet of God is going to get that confused. Well, that was really the beginning of the controversy. And the Deseret News, the church-owned newspaper, commented, President Young preached several sermons on various subjects, the Holy Ghost resting upon him in great power while he revealed some of the precious things of the kingdom. Here's the Diary of Hosea Stout. This is in the Brigham Young University Library Special Collections Department, and a lot of these are not published, and when they are, we find especially, like the Journal of Discourses was put out in a very, very, very condensed volume by John Widsoe called The Discourses of Brigham Young, in which everything that Adam got and so forth very conveniently clipped out. We mentioned Bruce R. McConkie. He had come out with a book called Sound Doctrine. And Sound Doctrine was taken from the Journal of Discourses and highly edited down, of course. And just about the time that Sound Doctrine was to come out, a little bitty publishing outfit in Salt Lake City, I think it was Hawk's publisher, bless their hearts, published the whole Journal of Discourses, the entire 26 volumes from an actual reproduction of the original. And Sound Doctrine by McConkie never even hit the shelves. It disappeared. I've always wondered. Somebody said, do you ever wonder where Jimmy Hoffa is? I said, I know where he is. He's out on some desert island reading Sound Doctrine. Anyway, this is from the Diary of Hosea Stout. February 9th, 1852. Stormy morning. Attended conference. House much crowded. Did not stay in the house long. Afternoon was not in because of crowd. Another meeting this evening. President B. Young taught that Adam was the father of Jesus and the only God to us. That he came to this world in a resurrected body, etc. More hereafter. Do you listen? Let me read that again to you. President B. Young taught that Adam was the father of Jesus. Now, Hosea Stout thought that Brigham Young meant what I say that it certainly seems that he meant. Here's the Journal of Samuel Rogers, Volume 1, page 179. April 16, 1852. Conference commenced on the 6th and continued until the 11th. It was held in the new tabernacle, adjourned until the 6th of next October. We had the best conference that I ever attended. During the time of the conference, President Brigham Young said that our spirits were begotten before that Adam came to the earth, and that Adam helped to make the earth, that he had a celestial body when he came to the earth, and that he brought his wife or one of his wives with him, and that Eve was also a celestial being, that they eat of the fruit of the ground until they begat children from the earth. And he said that Adam was the only God that we would have, and that Christ was not begotten of the Holy Ghost, but of Father Adam. You know, all of a sudden, there's a book out called Adam, Who Is He? By another Mormon apostle, see 2 Corinthians 11, Mark E. Peterson, in which, in the flap of that book, you can still go buy that book, I believe, the Mormon booksellers, they've got it, and they, you know, many of them have heard this material, yet they still sell that book. Shame on them. But you open that book up in the inside flap, it says, the result of a statement attributed to Brigham Young. Now, it's a statement, you see. It's not a thing that went on for years and years and years. It's just a statement. It's just a statement, and it's attributed to him. Now, he really didn't say it. He's just kind of attributed to him. Well, here's Samuel Rogers, and he attributed to him. Well, you say, I never heard of Samuel Rogers. How about Wilford Woodruff? He wasn't much. He just became the president of the Mormon Church. Brigham Young said, our father begat all the spirits that were before any tabernacles were made. When our father came into the garden, he came with a celestial body and brought one of his wives with him and eat of the fruit of the garden until he could beget a tabernacle. And Adam is Michael, or God, and all the God that we have anything to do with. They eat of this fruit and form the first tabernacle that was formed when the Virgin Mary was begotten with child. It was by the Father. Journal of Wilford Woodruff, April 9, 1852. Here's Lorenzo Brown, April 10. Meeting at 9 a.m. All male members met at 6 p.m. House full. President Young preached some new doctrine respecting Adam. Now, if it's a new doctrine, it isn't the old doctrine, is it? If it's a new doctrine, it can't be what the Mormon Church today says that he said. Well, they don't. I guess they don't anymore, because Bruce R. McConkie here has admitted Brigham Young taught Adam God. So, but publicly, they still say it's a theory, and we're still waiting to hear what the rumblings will be from Salt Lake City. They've overwhelmed us with silence. There have been phone calls and letters. No comment. Yep. Here's from August 8, 1852, Brigham Young. After men have got their exaltations and their crowns, have become gods, even the sons of God are made kings of kings and lords of lords, they have the power of propagating their species. And he goes on to talk about producing mortal tabernacles for their spiritual children. Well, here's the Journal of William Clayton, October 3rd, 52. A morning meeting was held at which Orson Spencer and Orson Pratt spoke on the subject of Adam. Spencer spoke of Adam coming to the earth in the morning of creation with a resurrected body, etc. Brother Spencer endeavors to substantiate the position taken by President Young, that is, that Adam came to this earth with a resurrected body. Now, it's interesting. You keep your eyes on Orson Pratt here. He'll come up from time to time, because he frankly did not believe that Brigham Young was correct. He didn't believe it, and they got into kind of a running little argument about it here. And Joseph Fielding Smith, in his so-called doctrines of salvation, which are no such thing, unfortunately, he says that, you know, this is this whole Adam-God business, and he said, I absolutely refute the idea that Adam was made from the dust of another world. That was never taught. Well, never except right here in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 6, Brigham Young. You believe that Adam was made of the dust of this earth? This I do not believe, though it is supposed that it is so written in the Bible, but it is not to my understanding. You can write that information to the states, if you please, that I have publicly declared I do not believe that portion of the Bible. Prophet of God? You think a prophet of God is going to talk that way? I don't think so. So Adam was created from the dust of another world. He came here in a celestial body. You're getting the picture now. Came to earth with Eve, one of his celestial wives. They partook of the fruit so that they might fall, so that they might make tabernacles or bodies for the spirit children they had previously begotten. Well, Journal of Wilford Woodruff again from February 19, 1854. Brigham Young said that our God was Father Adam. He was the father of the Savior Jesus Christ. Our God was no more or less than Adam, Michael the Archangel. Why would Wilford Woodruff say that? What was he referring to? I'm glad you asked. He was referring to Brigham Young's speech of February 19, 1854 in the Tabernacle in Salt Lake City. And once again, except for the fact of these nasty old anti-Mormon books, and if it weren't for anti-Mormon publishers, probably the greatest percentage of Mormonism wouldn't be published. But you can't just run down to the bookstore, you see, and buy this from the Mormon bookstore. They're not willing that you should have this. They tell you, well, you see, you're asking dangerous questions now, and are you beginning to doubt? See, the problem's with you. The problem isn't with somebody who sold you a bill of goods and made a sucker out of you. No, the problem's with you. But you see, here's what Brigham Young said, and this is in the church historian's office, probably under lock and key somewhere now, probably in some big hole in a mountain somewhere now. But anyway, if you're particularly interested and you'd like to look it up, you can actually go there. The call number is manuscript F, like Frank, 219, number 81, page 6. And of all the Adam God quotes, I think this is my favorite. Who was the Savior begotten by? It's Brigham Young talking now. Who was the Savior begotten by? Who did beget him? His Father. And his Father is our God, and the Father of our spirits. He is the framer of the body, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once again, for emphasis, let me just say that what he has painted here is a thumbnail sketch of the one the Mormons today call our Father in Heaven. I think that would be a fair enough estimation of the situation here. He's talking about the Father of the Savior, the one who begat the Savior. Is the Father of the Savior, the one that we call our God, the one who was the Father of our spirits. Now, if you're a Mormon, who's the Father of your spirits? It's our Father in Heaven, isn't it? It's the one we call God today. He is the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? He is Father Adam. He is Father Adam. Whatever happened to a statement attributed to Brigham Young? That doesn't sound like a statement attributed to Brigham Young. That sounds like quite a few. We're here 2 years later now. This is 2 years after a statement attributed to Brigham Young. And Brigham Young says that Adam is our Father in Heaven. Adam is our Father in Heaven. Adam God, man God. I wouldn't want you to go away and think that this is all we have. Stacks and stacks of documentation. And we'll conclude this study next week, God willing, mainly with a prayer that there will be Mormons who will hear this, who hopefully will be angered enough and upset enough that they will take me to task. I hope you hang me out to dry. I hope you try anyway. I hope you demand to see this documentation.
I hope you call up these ex-Mormons for Jesus right now and demand to see this documentation for yourself. And I hope you go to Salt Lake City and demand to see this documentation yourself. Because what will happen is you will find, as so many of us have found, that Mormonism has not told the truth. That no lie is of the truth, that Satan is the father of lies. Whether it's lying to promote the truth or lying to protect the truth, no lie is from God. I want to tell you about the lady who came over to tell me my house was on fire. Now you're probably wondering now, what in the world has that got to do with Adam God? Well, I don't know, but you just listen and we'll find out together. I was lying on the couch one Saturday afternoon, and there was a and the door, and it just, you know, it wasn't just a little polite little, you know, it was just, you know, louder and louder. I went to the back door, and this woman was, as the old saying goes, white as a sheet. And all she said was, "Oh my God, Carlene's house is on fire! Get out!" Now, Carlene's house, you see, was right next door. It was the oldest house in Mission Beach here in Southern California. It was the first house that had ever been built there. And if I just had a nickel for every time I'd hear somebody say, "Boy, what if that house ever caught on fire?" It was entirely made of wood, and it was old, oh, it was old, 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 and rickety, very attractive, but oh, it was old. It was so old. Well, their worst fear came upon me. Her house caught on fire. It went up like a Christmas tree, and it took part of our home with it. I'll never forget that. But I want to let you know, friends and neighbors, that my mom was asleep in that house, and my dog was in there, and I had a little bird that I kind of liked, and he was in there too. And I'm so glad that that woman came around and screamed and yelled and hollered. It didn't really matter too much to me that she was a little bit loud. It didn't really matter to me at the time that she perhaps was a little irreverent in her use of the name of God. All I cared about is what she was saying happened to be the truth, and I had to get out of there. And I had to get my mom out of there, and I had to get my pets out of there, because, friend, our house was on fire. Now, if you're a Mormon listening to this, or maybe you're a Christian, or maybe you think you are, and you're just so full of love that you wouldn't just say anything about anybody, and merrily they go to hell, and they'll be in hell for all eternity, and they'll remember you as being that nice person who forgot to tell them, well, that's your problem. You don't need to tell me that I come off pretty strong. I've already heard that. And you don't need to tell me that, well, you're kind of hard to take, and you're a little bit rough here and there, friend. I'm telling you this, it doesn't really matter how I'm saying it. Somebody told me, well, he's wrong, but the way he says, no, excuse me, he's right, but the way he says it makes him wrong. It does? Well, let's see. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4, you big dummy. No, the way you say it doesn't make you wrong, and that is a lie from the bottom of the pit of hell. Friend, if I sound like there is a bit of urgency in what I'm saying, if it sounds like I am trying to get to you, it's because I'm trying to get to you because your house is on fire. Brigham Young taught Adam is our father in heaven. No way is Adam our father in heaven. He's not our father in heaven in Mormonism today. He's not our father in heaven in the Bible. He was the father in heaven that Brigham Young worshipped. Brigham Young was a false prophet. And on beyond that, the Mormon church today has lied, lied, lied through its teeth to you and to me because they declare publicly that it's an Adam God theory, that it's a statement attributed to Brigham Young, that it really wasn't said, that it was taken out of context, and they are liars, and they are lying to you. Now you say, oh, strong words, what's a liar? A liar is somebody who says something at the time he's saying it, he knows it's not true. Now I have this letter here from Bruce R. McConkie, in which he admits, now as I say, he didn't expect this letter to get published, but he admits Brigham Young did teach that Adam is the father of our spirits, ergo our Father in heaven. He admits it. He doesn't admit it in his books. His father-in-law, Joseph Fielding Smith, didn't admit it in his books. And I submit to you that your house is on fire, and if you're thinking, sitting there thinking, well, he's not loving, he's not being nice, well, that's tough. What I'm saying is true, and you need to find out. I got a letter the other day from a fella. He said, I listened to your program, and I wasn't really particularly interested in what you had to say. But there was a fellow who came after you. There's a man who buys time on the radio station I'm on in Salt Lake City. And he takes just 5 minutes a day just to call me a liar in so many words. And when this McConkie letter came out, I respectfully requested a public apology from this man, because obviously the one who was lying is not me, or even I, for that matter. Well, I didn't... I wasn't holding my breath. But Adam God is the doctrine of Brigham Young. And it's not a statement attributed to Brigham Young. And I think, let's just go to some more of these quotes here. I think that's really where we're really going to get something accomplished here. Let's see. Here's the... Minutes of the Special General Council, quoted in Millennial Star, August 5th, 1854, Volume 16, page 482 and 483. And the thing is, if you think, well, the fellow on the radio there, he's being a little bit abusive, he's being a little bit rough, well, you can go look these things up for yourself, and then you won't have to have anybody read them to you. But if you're like so many that have found out that what I'm saying is true, I'd be glad to give you the name and address of any of them. And they'd be very happy to tell you that when they came to me and they admitted that they had been deceived in this thing, that the first thing I didn't do was say, aha, see there, you jerk, you fool, I told you. No, of course not. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to rub your nose in this stuff, folks. I am here to hit you over the head with it, because it's a good way to get your attention. Listen to the minutes of the Special General Council. Quote, some of the officers have not met in council for 3 years. They are lacking faith on one principle, that last cat that was let out of the bag. They are troubled about Adam being our father and God. Relative to the principles recently revealed, we have not the least difficulty. If Adam's being our father and God cannot be proved by the Bible, it is all right. By the way, it's not all right. Thank God we've got a surer anchor than that. We can go to the Word of God. We don't need to trust in some mediator, some priest, or some religious leader who is in direct communion with God. I don't care who he is or who he thinks he is. Thank God. We have access. Boldly, we can come into the throne of grace. We have direct access to the Father by Jesus Christ as Christians. Amen. That's a good doctrine. All right. Elder James A. Little, quote, I believe in the principle of obedience, and if I am told that Adam is our Father and God, I just believe it. President Young is a prophet of God. That's continuing from that Special General Council. Now, these men had not met for 3 years in council because they had trouble with Adam God. Now, if Adam God was just a statement, gosh, you'd think they could go to him. You know, in a period of 3 years, you could write a lot of letters. You could have a lot of meetings with these fellows. Say, look, guys, if, you know, you don't understand. See, he was taken out of context. It was just a statement, you see. Well, of course, that's not the way it was, because Brigham Young said it and Brigham Young meant it. Samuel W. Richards, quote, concerning the item of the doctrine alluded to by Elder Caffell and others, that is, that Adam is our father and God, I have to say, do not trouble yourselves, neither let the saints be troubled about that matter. The Lord has told us in a revelation which he gave through the prophet Joseph Smith, January 19, 1841, quote, I deign to reveal unto my church things which have been kept hid from before the foundation of the world. things that pertain to the dispensation of the fullness of times, unquote. By the way, if you're dispensational, and, you know, some of us are and some of us ain't. If you're dispensational, the dispensation of the fullness of times hasn't happened yet, according to, what is it, Ephesians 1 or 2, somewhere in there. So the God of Mormonism doesn't know which dispensation we're in. I think that's interesting. Anyway, continuing to quote Samuel Richard, if, as Elder Caffell remarked, there are those who are waiting at the door of the church for this objection, that is Adam God, to be removed, tell such the prophet and apostle Brigham Young has declared it, and that is the word of the Lord. Tell the saints that if this stone does not seem to fit into the great building of their faith just now, to roll it aside. Like Joseph Smith said, if they don't like it, they can lump it. That's what he said. Here we are in 1854. Again. He says, Brigham Young says, there are many lords and many gods, but to us there is but one God, the Father, and the God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of our spirits. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, both body and spirit, and he is the Father of our spirits and the Father of our flesh in the beginning. He is not only the Father of our spirits, but also the Father of our flesh. He goes on to say that Adam was made of the dust of the earth. Was he made of the dust of this earth? No, but of the dust of the earth where he was born in the flesh. Now, Brigham Young says one thing, Joseph Fielding Smith says, and anybody that says that is a liar. In so many words. His deceivers would say that. Sons of Belial, he calls them. Let's see here. Here's another one that's on microfilm that's, you know, they're not really eager to publish this in their fancy bindings and their pretty book covers. This is in the church historian's office, manuscript D, 1234. Is the call number. Manuscript D, 1234. Brigham Young. I reckon that Father Adam and Mother Eve had the children of the human family prepared to come here and take bodies. And when they come to take bodies, they enter into the bodies prepared for them, and that body gets an exaltation with the Spirit when they are prepared to be crowned in Father's kingdom. What? Into Adam's kingdom? Yes. I tell you, when you see your Father in heaven, you will see Adam. Excuse me, your Father in the heavens, you will see Adam. When you see your mother that bore your spirit, you will see Mother Eve. The mother and father of your spirit, Adam and Eve? Here's a good one from President Young from the John Pulsifer Papers, October 1854. There are lords many and gods many, but the God that we have to account to is the Father of our spirits, Adam. Brigham Young said, Adam was God, our eternal Father. Ooh, I like that one. That's from the Robinson Journal, Joseph Lee Robinson Journal. And let's see here. From the diary of Samuel W. Richards, 1855. Now we're 3 years after a statement. President Brigham Young stated, the whole object of the institution was comprehended in these words, to know the only wise God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, which is life eternal. He spoke of Adam being a God and head of the human family. To know him was to learn his true character. Brigham Young said, there is but one living and true God, and he's the Father of our spirits. Who's the Father of our spirits? There is but one living and true God. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our spirit, the personage who is called the Ancient of Days. Who's the Ancient of Days according to Brigham Young? According to Brigham Young, it's Adam. By the way, there's a book out. I mentioned this by Mark E. Peterson of the Council of the 12 Apostles of the Mormon Church, again, see 2 Corinthians 11, in which he says that Elder Charles C. Rich was present when Brigham Young made the Adam God address. And once again, the whole thing of Peterson's book is wrapped up in this idea that it was a statement attributed to Brigham Young, you see. that it wasn't, he said it a lot of times, but it was a statement, okay? But he says that Charles C. Rich was present. Well, a friend of mine in Florida and some others did a little research, and they found out that Charles C. Rich was on his way riding from San Bernardino, and he was not there to hear the conference. They didn't have radios in those days, and so they alerted Elder Peterson, and of course, for some reason, he didn't bother to thank any of us. But the new edition of Adam, Who Is He? Inserts one word into that story, not. So if you got the old edition of Adam, Who Is He? It says Elder Charles C. Rich was present and heard. If you got the new one, it says Elder Charles C. Rich was not present. But they leave the story in there. And the Mormon missionaries came up and told a friend of mine, they said, well, we can refute that. We've got an answer for that Adam God theory. And he said, son, it's not a theory. Well, we have a book, Adam, Who Is He? And he said, which edition? Huh? The old one, where Charles C. Rich was there, or the new one where he wasn't? That old Charles C. Rich gets around. Well, let's see what else we can dig up here. There's a lot of this stuff, of course. Here we are all the way up to 1888. Father Adam, this is from the Deseret Weekly. Father Adam, as a celestial being, voluntarily partake of the forbidden fruit, thereby rendered his body mortal in order that he might become the father of mortal tabernacles, as he was already the father of immortal spirits. All that Father Adam did upon this earth was done for his posterity's sake and the success of his former mission as the savior of a world. Diary of Abraham H. Cannon. He asked me what I understood concerning Mary conceiving the Savior. As I found no answer, he asked what was to prevent Father Adam from visiting and overshadowing the mother of Jesus. Brigham Young Jr. said, Adam is our father in God, and we used to discuss it with the Josephites or anyone else. The Josephites, the reorganized church in Independence, Missouri, never did accept any of Brigham Young's teachings, and they never did accept Adam was God. Orson Pratt was very disturbed by all of this Adam God business, and he said, I frankly don't believe it. And he contended with Brigham Young, and this thing went on for years. And the doctrine called Adam God was buried with Brigham Young. Now then, speaking of Orson Pratt, who lived quite a bit into this century, became fast friends with Joseph Fielding Smith, Sr., the one known to Mormons as Joseph F. Smith. He was president of the Mormon Church around 1906, or thereabouts. When Orson Pratt and Joseph F. Smith were traveling together as missionaries, really, it was Orson Pratt who did more to formulate and distill down the doctrines that we know today as Mormonism than any other man. And it was really Orson Pratt who got Adam God booted out of the church. Because today, Adam God is regarded as a theory, even though we just have shown that it's not. And that it's just an invention by a bunch of characters like me and the ex-Mormons for Jesus and all these other outfits are just making these things up. But you see, we're not. I hope you see that. I hope you see past me. I hope you see past whatever you don't care for about me. And just look at what I'm saying here. That Brigham Young taught Adam is our Father in Heaven. But you see, Orson Pratt got together with Joseph F. Smith. And when Joseph F. Smith became the president of the Mormon Church, I think that's when it really solidified. Because what you have today in Mormonism is really the refinements that Orson Pratt cooked up. And that is why you find in Mormonism today that Adam is no way our Father in Heaven. They might say, well, Adam is a God now somewhere. But he is not our Father in Heaven. Now, the Mormon responses to what I've been saying have been basically either to cover up or to engage in personal attack against me against the Tanners, against men like Ogden Kraut, who are Brighamites. That is, they believe in polygamy, they believe in Adam God, whoever it may be. Here's Evidences and Reconciliations by John A. Widsoe. And Jim, I might run a minute long here. Don't go away. John A. Widsoe, Evidences and Reconciliations. What are the facts concerning the so-called Adam God theory? Well, wait a minute here. Where did that go? The so-called Adam God theory? Is he kidding? All right, here we go. Those who spread this untruth about the Latter-day Saints go back for authority to a sermon delivered by President Brigham Young in the Tabernacle, April 9, 1852. Certain statements there made are confusing if read superficially, but very clear if read with their context. An honest reading of this sermon and of other reported discourses of Brigham Young proves that the great second president of the church held no such views as have been put into his mouth in the form of the Adam God myth. That is a blatant falsehood and a blatant cover-up. And I could really bore you with stacks of letters that I've received in which I've been called a liar and so forth. And I tell you, I'm a lot of things, folks, but I'm not a liar. And I think that if you are a Mormon, you really owe it to yourself, to the family that you think you're doing so much for, to find out if these old men in Salt Lake City have been telling you the truth. Because, and I want to quote now, and I believe it was Thomas Cooper, I could be wrong, but it was somebody, I know it was somebody who said that the truth invites investigation. Fraud flees from investigation. If you're being told that you can't look this stuff up and, aha, you've got, oh, you're doubting the authorities of the church, you see, that's a cop-out. The truth has nothing to fear, and you have nothing to fear from the truth.